Nice. So everybody else that's in here, if you want to turn with me in your Bible to Daniel chapter 3, please. Nice. So let's start out just by holding our Bible up for a second, whether that's your electronic gizmo or hard copy. Heavenly Father, this is my Bible. I believe what it says. I believe it can do what you say it can do. And I receive it from me today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, awesome. So this morning I'm going to talk about a Bible story that I think most of you are pretty familiar with. It's a story about Daniel and his three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's about them guys and a megalomaniac who was ruling the world at the time. They called him King Nebuchadnezzar, but the dude was totally, I mean, he thought he was God. He was literally the most powerful man on the planet. There was nothing compared to Babylonia at this time. So when he was king of Babylonia, the Babylonian king, he was ruler of the planet. They had just taken over the last little area that was a different nation, that was Assyria. And so now it was just Babylonia. Everywhere, if you were alive, you lived in the Babylonian Empire at this time. So this is, and this guy ruled it. So he had absolute power over everything. And so the guy did have an ego, and it was completely out of control. So I like to call him a megalomaniac. I think we've seen some of those actually are in our government right now. But I don't want to get sidetracked with that. So this morning I just want to talk about the same God that was at work for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the same God that's at work for all of us right now. I'm going to compare a story that these guys go through with some of the stuff that we're going through. Because there's some of us that are really in the fire right now. I would say most of us are in some kind of a fire right now looking for God to come through in a strong way to bring breakthrough for us or our family. Would you agree with that? So this is a great story for this. So let me just start by talking about Nebuchadnezzar. He was king of Babylon. He ruled the whole world, and he built the statue of their false god. And I know sometimes when I think of statues, I think of something that's really pretty and very creative and very artsy. How do you like that, Tammy? I actually can think like that. This statue wasn't that. This was a fake god. This is one of their demons that they worshipped. And so he built this statue of a fake god, and he covered the whole thing with gold. And this wasn't just some little old statue. This statue, when I converted the cubits and into inches and feet and all that, this thing was about 107 feet tall and 11 feet wide. And to give you an idea, if that was here, from where I'm standing to that highest corner is about 25 feet. So you need three more of those going up. The white part of where that cross is, that's 8 feet. So you'd have to go over about three boards over here and three boards here and then go up. Four times that white wall, that's the size of that statue of this demon. And so as we go and look at the story, everybody's ordered to come in and bow down and worship the gold monster. That's what the story is all about. So King Nebuchadnezzar, he says, everybody's got to come in here. I build this statue. He gets it all in there. He brings everybody in. If you look in your Bible, let's go to Daniel chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 and 2. So Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, judges, magistrates, if I missed you, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And so he basically had just conquered Assyria recently. He brings everybody that's anybody. If you got any kind of a title, you're ordered to be here today. I want to make sure that everybody understands. This is what he's thinking. I want to make sure everybody understands that I'm absolutely in positive, complete control. And if you disagree with me, I'm going to wipe you out. So he orders everybody that's anybody to come out into this plain in front of the gold monster, and he orders them. He says, now I'm going to play some music, and when I play this music, then all of you are going to bow down and worship this image. You got it? It's real simple. If you don't do this, I'm going to kill you. Those are your choices. And so as the story unfolds, he brings them in. He has a statue all there. He plays the music, and Daniel's friends refuse to bow. So the government, King Nebuchadnezzar, spent a great deal of money to show a force of their absolute power in the land, orders everybody that's anybody to come before it and worship the image of their power. And Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to do it. And so all these guys that are bowing to the powers that be, all of them had given up basically their freedom of choice, their freedom of thought, their integrity, what they really believed in, because they're afraid of, for their lives. All these guys bow down. The only thing they can think to do is to narc out Daniel's three buddies. That's what you're going to do? You're going to tattle on the guys that don't bow rather than try to fix the problem? That's what it is. And so I think some of us might be thinking what some of those guys, those three guys, were thinking. I think today you might feel like you're standing in front of a 90-foot or 100-foot tall problem. You stand against this thing. The government put this thing up, or the powers in your life, or principalities and powers in heavenly places, demonic forces, have established something in your life, and it just seems so big and so immovable. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know what's going to change this thing. Maybe you're caught between doing what you know is right and doing what's easy, what others are telling you to do, what others are doing. Because that's not anything new. It's not. This story in Daniel chapter 3 is very similar to what some of us are living right now. Almost everybody around us is saying, no, just do this. It's very simple. It's very easy. You can just get it done. Only take a couple minutes and it's over. And some of us are going, no, I don't want to do that. I don't believe in that. I'm gonna stick with what I believe in. How about if you have a bad marriage? You would be surrounded with people that are telling you, well, just trade her in on a new model. Not a big deal. My aunt got divorced 5 times. You can just get remarried if you want. Don't fight the fight. Just do what's easy. What about finances? Well, I had a bad break. I lost my job with COVID, and I owe a lot. Well, just go into bankruptcy. They'll just wipe all that stuff off for you and just start fresh. No, I'm not going to do that. I believe that my debts, I need to pay my debt. Nobody cares. Everybody's doing just. There's all kinds of different situations. I know some people might think that I'm strictly talking about COVID and the shot. I'm not. I'm talking about principalities and powers, huge things that are battling in our lives to derail God's destiny for us. Because the gold monster that's in front of you right now is stopping the path of God's whole destiny for your life. Your whole life is not wrapped up in this one gold monster. Let me just tell you that. Because once you see God defeat this gold monster, you're going to get a clear vision of God's destiny, blessing, and plan for your life. That's what we're talking about today. So I know the gold monster is going to get a little bit of attention, but you know what? This guy's coming down. Let me just tell you that. God is God. So maybe the thing that you're struggling with is work or a relationship or a health situation. It might seem like it's 10 stories high and as wide as a semi-truck. It's just not going to move. I'm telling you, God can change everything. You're going to see in this story, it's absolutely amazing. So let me give you a little bit more backstory in this. Daniel and his friends. So Daniel and his friends, because sometimes we think, yeah, I get these problems, but you can read the story about this, and it's like a 20-minute problem from when the problem starts, and then God shows up, and they're in happy land, and you don't realize that I've had this problem for 19 years. You don't realize that I've been in this situation for so long. I don't know what God could do. I've tried everything. I want to tell you that these guys were in an impossible, horrible life. It filled their whole life problem. The gold monster was just like the latest thing coming into their story. Daniel and his three friends were Israelites. They were Jews, and their whole nation had been taken over by Babylonia. These guys, the troops went through. They took the people that owned the most, the people that owned businesses, companies, that kind of stuff. People that had training and skills. The cream of the crop, that would be all of us, right? We'd be the... Yeah, sure. We're going to use faith today, right? They took the best of the best, took them all the way over into Babylonia as slaves. You might be the best of the best over there. You might have been the big cheese over there, but you're a slave over here. And anything you did right over there or any kind of skill or quality you think you got, that's fine because you're going to use it serving me over here. That's where these young men were. They actually went into this training school. You got skills, you got some ability, looks like you got some potential. Forget about all that. You're going to get over here and you're going to do what we tell you to do and you're going to do it the best you can or we're going to kill you. You always got great options. You won't get confused. Do what you're told or die. Kind of sounds familiar again. Stick to the story, Mike. So his three friends and Daniel, the first thing you do, they get them into the school. And you know what they feed these guys at the school? They feed them the meat from the sacrifices to this gold god dude. So this thing wasn't finished yet, but they worshiped that demon. And they would sacrifice animals to this demon and other demons, other false gods. And then that meat that's left over is what they're feeding these guys at the school. And when Daniel caught wind of that, he's like, whoa, time out. I don't eat at Taco Bell. I can't have that. It'll hurt me. Sorry. I shouldn't do that. You know, my grandson loves Taco Bell. He told me this joke. So if you don't like this joke, you can blame it on Mason. He said, well, Grandpa, every time I go there, I get the same thing. I said, what's that? He said, diarrhea. Oh, okay. So Daniel didn't want the same results as what Mason would get. It was worse than that. He wasn't going to honor this demon by eating sacrifices that were made to that demon. And so he went to his boss. He said, hey, can you just give us a chance here? He says, what's that? He said, well, can you just let us not eat the stuff that's sacrificed to them and not drink the wine that was sacrificed to it? And if you could, we'll just have vegetables. And the guy says, hold on, dude. If after a little while you're eating that vegetable diet and you look less than these other guys who are eating the sacrifice, it's going to cost me my life. There was no wiggle room in this area, right? These are slaves who are being built up to be good slaves. And so Daniel says, well, just give us a 10-day trial. If after 10 days you come and you check us out, we look weaker than those guys, then we'll do what you tell us to do. So after 10 days, they came back, and Daniel and his buddies looked better than these other people, looked stronger, looked more fit, and looked more lively. So the guy's like, okay, I guess we'll go with that then. So before they ever run into these other monsters or these other problems, these other impassable things, Daniel and his buddies had already made a decision to follow God no matter what it cost them. Even if, I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to have a whole diet of veggies. Now, I know some people choose that, and they love it. God bless them. I like meat. So if I've been carried over somewhere and I'm a slave and I'm slaving away and now it's dinner time and I'm starving and they lay out a big old slab, a nice steak and some sausages and stuff, that would try my faith. You'd got to know that I'd have to be prayed up and focused on God to go, nope, that's okay. I got a nice bowl of broccoli over here tonight. I'm fine. Praise the Lord. Whew, these guys were standing in faith. I'm just telling you, their whole lifestyle was staying in faith. And so after that, shortly after he made that distinction and they're looking better than these other guys and they got this whole thing going on, the king had a nightmare. Imagine that. A demonized megalomaniac having a nightmare. Can you just picture that? He has this nightmare, and it blows all his circuits. And so he goes to all his little magicians and all this stuff. He had a whole fleet of these guys, astrologers, magicians, soothsayers, all this stuff. They were reading everything from literally from bones to tea leaves to the stars. When they sacrificed an animal, they would literally gut it. The guts would fall out on the floor, and they somehow would read the future from how those things landed on the floor. Wait, what? So he has this dream, and he goes and he calls all these geniuses up, and he says, okay, this is what I want. I want you guys to tell me what I dreamed and then the interpretation. And these guys, they're used to, honestly, I think most of the time they just was lying to this guy about what's going to happen and what might happen. I think sometimes the devil was working with them, so they're able to hit things right. But most of the time, I think they're just spitballing. So these guys hop up and go, okay, king, I got it. Lay it on me. Give me the dream. I'll give you the interpretation. But this time, the king was so upset. He's like, I'm not telling you the dream because I know what you guys are going to do. You're going to just fabricate something. That's not happening today. You tell me my dream first, and then you tell me the interpretation. Well, hold on a second. We can't do that. You better do it. I mean, it was a very short conversation. He said, boss, we can't do it. Nobody can do this. He said, well, then fine. If nobody can do it, then I'm going to kill all y'all. Megalomaniac. Got it. So then word goes out. They're going to kill all the soothsayers. They're going to kill all of them. And Daniel catches wind of it. And Daniel's like, whoa, time out. Hold on a second. Tell this guy to slow down, slow his roll, so to speak. I'm going to go and pray, and the God that I pray to will tell me his dream and the interpretation. I'll get back to you. Just give me some time to go and talk to the God of the heavens. And they're like, okay, but the clock's ticking. That's the whole backstory on this thing. Daniel goes out, he prays, he gets the dream and the interpretation. It goes up to the king and says, look, boss, this is what it really is. He lays it out on him. Now let's look at the king's answer on this. So you're at the beginning of chapter 3. Just back up a little bit to verse 46 in chapter 2. Because this gives us the whole backstory to the whole thing in chapter 3. Chapter 2, verse 46. So he just told him, this is your dream, this is an interpretation. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. Man, this dude would worship anything. Verse 47. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylonian. Also Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So because of that dream, all of a sudden, this guy that used to be a slave is brought all the way up to the top position administrator in this whole land. You remember the story about Joseph in Egypt and how only the king of Egypt was over him? This is the same picture here. This guy went from a slave who was on a veggie diet all the way to number two in the whole nation. Wow. Wow. He doesn't leave. I like how Daniel goes, well, that's great. I love my job. I love my position now. But I got three friends. Could you go and bring my... He goes, no problem. Brings in his three friends. Put these guys over everybody that was anybody. Earlier when I read the list of the satraps and administrators and managers and officials, and all of those guys now, all of a sudden, they've got slaves for bosses. Now, they've already been working for King Crazy their whole lives. And now all of a sudden you're telling me I've had to do all I could do to try to climb this company ladder to get anything that I could. And now slaves are bossing me around? Man, they used to hate their jobs. You know they hated them worse that day. So now these guys are put in charge over everything. And guess what? These guys that now used to be the bosses are now under slaves as bosses. They start scheming a way to try to take these dudes out. And they couldn't come on them like head on and say, well, you ought to fire this guy because he's been stealing, because they weren't stealing. Well, you ought to fire this guy because he's doing business illegal. No, he wasn't. These guys, like nowadays, this would be like someone that's lost versus someone that's born again, where the born again guy starts at the company and fairly quickly he rises through the ranks and now he's in management. There's no way that they can go to the boss and say, well, he does a crummy job. The boss just promoted him. If you say he's doing a crummy job, you're basically saying to the boss, you're an idiot in your choice of managers. That'll get you fired. It would have got these guys killed. So what they do is they attack him in their strength. And you might feel like some of the stuff I'm going through right now, I'm here because I made good choices. I lived as a Christian. I worked my tail off with the skills and abilities I got. And now here I am, and there's this big old 100-foot monster in my way. How in the world did I get here? God, I thought I was working for you. I thought I was serving you. I thought I was faithful. How come this impassable thing now is in my way? Because the devil wants to derail your destiny. And God is always with you and wants to use you to bring him glory and show his faithfulness and your faith in him to the people around you. So the struggle you're going through right now is an opportunity for God to get glory and for people around you to be brought to the Lord and for your destiny to be fulfilled too. This is a great story. I love it. This whole story isn't about just trying to give them a bad day or trying to get them demoted. This is about trying to stop their whole destiny. The struggles that we go through, sometimes we think, well, this is just a struggle. I'll get through this thing and then life will get back to normal. Sometimes the devil literally tries to derail us to the point where we'll take a right turn then. Now we're going over here because that was a little too difficult and this seemed easier. Can I tell you, if you're in a struggle, if you're up against it right now, if you're in a battle, push into God. Redouble your efforts in your relationship with God Almighty, because this thing that you're in right now is for God's glory and for your fulfillment in your destiny. It's just like this story. Don't believe the lie and give in. Don't believe the lie that, you know what, I'll just follow my emotions. This seems to be easier. I'll just do this. Well, other people are doing, lots of people are, even other Christians, I'll just do, don't cave in, whether it's work or your health or your relationship or whatever it is. Don't give in. Push into God as best you can, because God is working for you and he's going to turn your mess into a message. I promise it. So, we all come to the day or the hour in the day, the minute in the day where we've got to make the decision. Maybe you're talking to your boss about policy at work, or maybe you're talking to a doctor about that you can either do this or you can do that. Maybe you're talking to your spouse that it's either today we're going to sign papers or we're going to... I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. But there will be a time where you come to that intersection, you got to make the decision. That's where these guys were. So they call the meeting. These guys stand up, the music starts playing, and everybody hits the deck, starts worshiping the gold monster. These guys are standing there. It's one thing to go, okay, I'm not going to bow the knee. But what about when you're out in the middle of this field? I'm guessing there had to be at least thousands if every leader in this whole province came around. You're surrounded, and this racket, here's the gold statue. They probably waited till like, right at noon, so the sun's shining off this thing, and it looks all that great, and da, 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 da. And so then they start up all this music and all that, and you're standing there, and all of a sudden, boom, everybody hits the deck. Except for you and these two guys standing next to you. And so it probably starts, I'm thinking these guys are like on their knees. But the guys next to you notice that you ain't down, right? And so they're probably... And pretty soon, you're standing in this field, and everybody that's supposed to be worshiping is looking at you. Yikes. That had to be a really yikes time. I'm just telling you. So, I don't know if they just call that, like they got done with the music and everybody starts standing up. But these guys who were working for slaves, they had a foot race to tell on these guys that refused to worship this crazy, maniacal king. And they run up and they tell him, hey, look at this guy. These guys aren't worshiping. Those slaves, we told you they were trouble and you wanted to put them there. So we're just telling you, they weren't worshiping you or your God. And this guy kind of loses it. Let's go to the chapter 3. It's really cool. I love this story. Verse 12. These guys run and say, hey, there's certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Notice they do that. That had to put a dig in his ribs. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you've set up. Watch this, dude. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I've set up? It doesn't look like they even answered. He didn't give them a chance to answer. I think he's full-blown rage monster at this point. I'm guessing that the demons are actually manifesting in this room. Must have been a great sight. Verse 15. Now, if you're ready at this time And when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I've made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? I love this. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. It's like, man, we shouldn't even have to answer you. Because they're remembering what happened earlier in chapter 2. When this same guy said, oh, I get it. The King of Kings, the God Almighty, the God over all kings, the God in heaven who reveals secrets. Oh, that's your king. He knew who he was asking about. And yet he has to ask them this. So they're like, we shouldn't even have to answer you. That's how I take it. So they go, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But, I know this had to really steam him. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that if we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. The rage goes up a whole nother notch. Look at this. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Well, what was he before when rage and fury? Now he's full of fury. Okay. And the expression on his face changed. Oh, I bet it did. Toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it usually was heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Just put your finger there on verse 21 for a second. I want to read a couple of these key verses out of the message and how this says it. So when he challenged Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that this is your last chance, boys. If you start worshiping, you acknowledge all this. If you say you're going to do this, you're okay. And this is how the message says they answered. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, your threat means nothing to us. If you throw us in the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from your roaring furnace and anything else you might cook up, O king. But even if he doesn't, it wouldn't make a bit of difference, O king. We still wouldn't serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. Now, you got to know, somebody's already made a decision in a different room before they made this decision in this room. You know what I mean? We need to make our decisions at home as we're talking to God, as we're worshiping God, as we're reading his word about how we're going to talk to our boss. We can't wait till we're there in the pressure, in the midst of the fury coming at us to think we're going to be able to rule our emotions. We got to make a decision somewhere else before we come to that intersection. These guys had done it. It looks like they had talked this through, prayed it through. They were set. You might feel like you're in that kind of an intersection in your life, at work or relationship or health. I want to encourage you, get with God before you get with that other person. Get with God. Spend some time talking to him, praying with him, getting a sense of what he wants. Let him fill you back up so that you can stick to what you know is right. And don't take the easy road or what seems right or what other people are doing. Do what you know God's put in your heart. Because our God is the God who saves. So this dude loses it, full-blown demonic manifestation. He orders the fire to be turned up 7 times, gets the strongest men he knows to throw them in. Look at this. So they get ready. They get the strong guys. Verse 21, then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He says, well, look. He answered, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Wow. So here's this demonized megalomaniac, not only did he see God's people operate in faith in the other chapter and go, oh, in your life, I can see there's God. Now these guys are still standing in faith, walking out what God's given them. And now he literally goes, I see God. He saw God move for them in the other chapter. Now he's actually seeing God move right there in front of him. Don't you want that in whatever situation you're in? I mean, we pray for people to get saved all the time. We pray for God to talk to people all the time. Wouldn't it be awesome if in the midst of this meeting, this conversation you're having with some other people, and right while it gets the most tense, this person goes, well, hold on a second. Weren't we talking about this? How come I see this now? I think that's God. Man, you'd be like jumping up and trying to do a chest bump with him and high five. And it's like, come on, this is what we're talking about. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of that burning fiery furnace. He must have forgot that his strongest guys just got toasted. This cat was shook up. And he says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the king's counselors, all the narcs gathered together. And they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. Come on. That fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Imagine every molecule of smoke was prevented from going onto their bodies or in their clothes. Every molecule of smoke. Now, I've been by enough campfires to know if you're by a regular campfire, this thing was vaporizing guys right on the edge. I've been by regular little campfires. It seems like 3-4 days later, I still smell like smoke. You go blow your nose and it's like fresh smell of smoke. These guys, not even one molecule of smoke on them. On a fire that was probably a million times hotter and bigger than any fire I've ever been by. Wow. Then Nebuchadnezzar speaks again. He says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Boom. Game, set, match, as they say in tennis. It's just such an amazing story. And it's a story like many of us find ourselves in right now. The same God that saved these three guys is the same God that's saving us. Not going to save. He's saving. It's a verb. Salvation is a noun, but how God saves us is a verb. It's always an action. He saved us all those years ago. Today he's saving us. He's rearranging situations, circumstances. He's touching people's hearts. He's setting up things for us to walk in to see his total victory in our lives. We're going to see it. We're going to see it soon. The ones of us that have been in the fight the longest, I think your breakthrough is the nearest. We live in dark times. God actually has a need right now for faithful people like us to make a stand where we're at, so he can show people his loving kindness and his power for destiny in our lives. I think God's desperate right now for us to continue trusting him. That's the great thing. You guys are already trusting him. It's not like you have to try to figure out a new thing. I'm telling you, hang tight. Stay strong. Trust God. You've already made that decision. Push into God. Spend a little bit more time with him so he can remind you of his great love. Spend some time with God in worship so he can just re-soften your heart. Spend some time in the Word so he can remind you of his promises. Because not only does he want to change your mess into a message, but he wants to change your trial into triumph. Many of us are in a trial, been in a trial. God's watching, and he wants to get busy on your behalf. Do you know how I'm so confident of this? You know how I'm so absolutely sure that God wants to do big things in our lives, in your lives? Because a crazy, demonized, megalomaniac looked in a fire and saw Jesus Christ himself. This guy was worse than any person in any of our lives. Period. Period. And if God can get a hold of this dude, just because these guys did two simple things. They didn't eat meat and they didn't get on their face. Those are two simple things that they didn't do after they had settled things in our hearts. I want to encourage you, settle it in your heart. This thing that you're going through right now that the devil's trying to tell you, take the easy way. Whatever that is for you, just go by your emotions. This stuff feels so uncomfortable. Just go this way. It'll be easier and other people are doing it. Just settle it in your heart. No, this is what God told me. This is what I believe of God. This is how I'm going to live my life. It's settled. If you'll do that, you're going to see breakthrough. Because that same Jesus that went in the fire to save them is the same Jesus on your behalf working very diligently right now. Is that your family? Is it your children, grandchildren? Is it your brother? Is it your coworker? Is it your spouse? Is it your parent? We all got stuff going on. I know a lot of this stuff would fit for the COVID thing. But you know what? COVID wasn't around here 5 years ago. And God was, and God was faithful working in our lives. And I don't think COVID will be around 5 years from now. So I don't want all this truth and all this power, all this faithfulness of God in our lives to only be for COVID. He's way bigger than COVID. He's way bigger than our government. He's way bigger than this temporary stuff we see. Let's just redouble our efforts to trust God, the same God that protected these guys from the fire, from the smoke, from a crazy maniac, totally in charge. God protect them. He's going to protect us. And can I have the worship team come up, please? This morning when the worship team was warming up, and I came in here, I was walking around praying a little bit, and this song in particular just felt like just fell. I mean, I literally had just stopped for a couple of minutes during the song, and as I was talking to Holy Spirit about it, I felt like he told me to have them do this song now, and then as we all stand up and we worship to this song, I want us to prepare our hearts to worship God in this song, thinking about our destiny. Worship God for your destiny. Not just this the problem that's in front of you right now. That's a real thing, and God is faithful. I want you to think about your destiny for the rest of your life. Some of us don't have as many years as some of other people here, right? I think the years in front of me are fewer than the years behind me at this point. But I still have a destiny. If that destiny is only a year and a half, I still got a destiny. I'm not going to worry about this week's problem for the rest of my life. I'm going to trust God for the rest of my life and watch him defeat this little problem that's in front of me. Amen? Here's the question I have all of us this morning. I believe God Almighty can change any situation. He can save us, protect us, and keep us no matter what this world throws at us. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I think we do. Here's the question. As many of us are standing in front of a giant of a problem, if God chooses to not change our situation, or if that situation gets worse for a while, are we still okay with that and trusting God 100% for it? Do we have the same heart condition towards God who says, God, I know you're going to bring quick breakthrough, but even if you don't, I'm going to serve you with all I got for as long as I got. Because that's what I think set this whole principle in place. We're not going to eat this nasty meat because it ain't right, period. So if you're going to kill me, do it. If these veggies kill me, they're going to kill me. But I'm trusting you, God. I'm not bowing down to that image. I don't care if you want to kill me. If you kill me and my whole family, I ain't doing it, no matter what. I know you can save me, God, but even if you don't, I'm not going to dishonor you in front of all these people. Wow. Wow. Can we say like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, my God can do anything, but even if he doesn't do this for me right now, I'm still not caving in to the works of the enemy. I know he can do it, but if he delays, I'm okay with that. So I'm going to have the worship team start the song, and I just want to encourage you to open your heart to God, and let's just relay hold of the hugeness of God for our whole destiny, for the length of our lives. Amen? Go ahead, Denise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for this particular story that just talks about your faithful people when they're outnumbered in a horrible situation with horrible leaders over them. Lord, you bring breakthrough, and you are faithful, and I thank you and praise you for that. Now, Lord, as we wrap this up today, this service, Father, I pray your blessing on your people. I pray that you would show them your glory. Father, I pray that you would speak to anyone that has wicked leadership above them, whether that's at their company, whether that's in the government, no matter what that ends up being, Lord, I pray that you'd bring breakthrough in that situation. And Lord, I pray that you would do it like we've seen in this story, that you would bring a wicked leadership to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're not praying and asking for lightning to strike people. We're praying for the exact opposite. We're praying for the greatest blessing that any person can know, and that's Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So, Lord, would you bring breakthrough now? Would you demolish the giants that are in our lives by bringing people to Jesus Christ? And, Lord, I bless your sons and daughters. Each one of them here are precious in your sight. Lord, they're literally priceless. You paid for them with the blood of your Son. And I pray that they would sense your presence and your great love for them. I pray they'd walk in your forgiveness every single day. I pray that they would live by the power of your grace, changing them from the inside out more and more as we are changed into the image of Christ. And Lord, I pray the last thing today, Lord, I'm asking that you would give all of us a new dream or a clear vision of our destiny and what you've created us to be and to do with however many days and years we have left. Would you please do this now in Jesus Christ's mighty name? Amen. Well, God bless all of you. We have coffee and refreshments over in the fellowship room. Love to see all of you over there. God bless you and have a great week.